This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. We thank you for joining us and count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening, and we trust the broadcast will be a blessing and a help to you. Now, I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Father, as we bow before you, we come to you, thanking you for all you've done for us, thanking you for your love, Lord, thanking you for mercy and grace. Most of all, thanking you for your darling son, whom you sent to give his life for our sins, to resurrect from the dead. I think of the scripture. He was delivered for our offenses and risen again for our justifications. Lord, I thank you. Everything you've done was for our sakes. I come to you today, Lord, and I plead the blood. I pray, Father, you'd continue to save these youngins, save the lost. Lord, I pray for the missionaries and the mission work that you would just bless and do for Jesus' sake. Lord, I pray today that you would just come through in a great and a mighty way. The day and hour we're living in seems like the devil has taken a strong hold, but I'm glad, Father, you're able to break down all of those. I'm glad today, Father, you're able to do that which is exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And Lord, we thank you today for we can put our hope and our faith in thee and just realize today you've not left us, you're with us. Lord, and I pray today for each and every one of the listeners. I pray for those that's prayed and supported this work that you'd bless them in a special way. I pray you'd give us ears to hear what thus saith the Lord, that we'd know what direction to go. Lord, if you don't tell us, we won't know. Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, we ask you today once again to bless the church. Have your will and your way, and we'll thank you for all that you do. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, brethren, I want to make just a few real quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. I would like to ask you to pray for us. Pray for our children's homes, the one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, one in Romania, as well as all of the feeding centers in Romania, Bulgaria, all the missionaries in those countries, as well as the Ukraine. Please continue to pray for that. I want to ask you to pray for Israel and the peace of Jerusalem. I think our country, it seems like it's left Israel's side, but I thought about it. It's what the scripture said, all nations would come against them, but I'm glad the Lord hasn't left their side. And I want to pray for them. I want the Lord to help them in whatever fashion it takes. And we're so thankful that they are his chosen people. And if you would continue to pray for them, pray for all of these situations that's going on in the Middle East and all around the world. And pray for these folks that somehow, some way on these college campuses that we have here in America, that their eyes would be opened and their hearts would be enlightened to the glorious gospel. Seems like the falling away is here, but anyway, if you would continue to pray, and I believe God will continue hear and answer. He's doing that, and we're thankful for an ear that can hear and arms that can save and the blood that does cleanse. But anyway, I want to give you our mailing addresses, ask you to write us this week at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church, and we trust it'll be a blessing.
I remember as a child the life my mother lived, telling me of Jesus and the love he had to give. But what I remember most of all is when on Jesus' name she called. I can see her there upon her knees in prayer, and I thank their knees, praying for their children, that their lives the Lord would lead. For when she is touching heaven, something's taking place. All of heaven pays attention to a mother on her face. Now a mother's love can be compared to what Christ done for me. How he hung on that old rugged cross, it was there he thought of me. For he paid the debt that I might live, and still in my mind I see my mother lifting up my name while praying on her knees. And I thank God for praying mothers who spend time on their knees, praying for their children, that their lives the Lord would lead. For when she is touching heaven, something's taking place. All of heaven pays attention to a mother on her face. So if you think about your mother, you'd better be aware. It could be that she has spent time on her knees in prayer.
Turn to Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not, thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mightest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, I'll open the door, I'll come in to him, sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also have overcome and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. I know and I realize this is to Israel. I mean, this is a Jewish church. And I realize they've got to overcome. We've been singing about grace. That means you've done got it. I was asking these fellows the other day, I asked two or three of them, where is the Holy Ghost? I mean, there's no conviction of sin to anybody. I talked to these boys for an hour the other day, yesterday, and man, they didn't even faze them. They sat around and dozed while I was talking. No fear of God, no conviction, no nothing. And then I got to wondering about where is the Holy Ghost? Well, I think I found out some things, but I believe I'll just talk to you this morning on I think I found the answer. In verse 17, because thou sayest. Now this don't say that they're not rich. Amen. They said they was. Amen. That's like a lot of folks that say, I'm saved. That don't make you saved because you say you're saved. And you can say I'm rich. It don't make you rich because you say you're rich. And all the stuff that you're saying ain't what it needs to be said. You need to hear what God is saying. I mean what you're saying. Most of the time, like he said a while ago, like Britt said, most of it's lies. Most of it, we lie to ourselves. I told him, I've been telling these boys for weeks, quit lying to yourself. Quit saying I'm saved when you know you're not, because you just said a little prayer to somebody. I mean, you just said a little something. I ain't got nothing to do with it. Bless God, you got to have the voice of the Lord come into your heart. You have to hear God speak. I mean, he said, if any man hear my voice, I'll come in. He ain't coming in till you hear his voice. I mean, that ain't going to be out loud, but that'll be that in your heart when the Holy Ghost speaks to your heart. And he said, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit said to the churches. So that's God on the outside, but it's in the form of the Holy Ghost. I mean, Jesus done gone back to heaven now. And this all happened after he arose from the dead. And that couldn't have been saved otherwise. And he's saying now, I'm a stand at the door. The only reason he's out there is because we've run him off. Amen. We think we're rich. Now, I talked to Mitko over in Bulgaria, and he said them people over there didn't want God until they all lost everything they had, got no job, got nothing. I got to thinking that's the way it was when I got saved back in the Depression days. When I wasn't saved in the Depression days, but I lived through them. And people were getting saved back then, worshiping God, enjoying God, because they didn't have nothing. Amen. They'd lost it all. But we say we're rich. I mean, you ain't rich. I mean, Lord God, if you got a string of credit cards 40 foot long, and you owe everything you'll ever live to pay off, you ain't rich. Amen. You're a pauper, son. Amen. I mean, those fellas back there didn't have no credit card, wasn't in debt. But bless God, they knew they didn't have nothing up here either. They didn't have nothing in their pocket, but they didn't have no credit card to get nothing with. And they couldn't have bought it. They couldn't buy a job. You couldn't find one. And I went without food 3 or 4 days a week. Because, son, listen, I mean, I don't know what it's like. But you know what? We've got the riches on our mind, that's all. And it's not wrong to be rich. It's wrong to lie about it. Amen. I mean, Abraham was rich, but he didn't lie about it. But we're lying about it. They said, I am rich. Now, that's not so. I mean, these churches that think, well, we've got money. What's money? That don't make you rich. I mean, what's money? It's going to all be gone pretty soon. I mean, if some of these fellows are telling me the truth about it, and if I'm hearing the truth, and I believe what they're telling me, the ones that's telling me is telling the truth, as far as they know, but about a year and a half from now, if all these computers fall out and all this stuff goes out of business, you ain't going to have nothing. So bless God, you just might as well ball up and say, God, help me. Now, I mean, right now, we're in a mess, but I'm glad that I don't have to. Hey, I got saved. I got saved with a pair of patched breeches on. Didn't have a change of clothes, but I was rich. I'm still rich. I mean, I'm rich in God and rich in His glory and His grace. He is rich, and I'm in Him. Hey, listen, it's not the things of this world that makes you rich. I mean, this is a bunch of deception that you think, well, I've got money. I can buy my way out. You can't do it. I'll read that to you one of these days when I get a chance. But you can't buy your way out. I read over in Ezekiel where they said they're going to throw their gold and their silver in the streets because money won't pay. Money won't buy them. I want to tell you right now, we're living in a sad day when everybody's got their eyes on riches. That ain't got a thing to do with what I'm preaching about this morning. This church said we're rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. Great God, when a church gets in that shape, they sure do need something. I mean, Lord, have mercy. I tell you, when I was preaching back in my first church, 52 years ago this month, I got my first church. 52 years ago this month, they paid me $10 a month, finally. I mean, they finally got to paying me. After the first time I wasn't taking, first few Sundays, first few months I went, I just walked up there and preached, went back, wouldn't take nothing. But one day, some old preacher said, well, son, you're causing them to miss a blessing. Take a little bit. So they give me $10 a month. and my house rent was $10 a month. Well, I didn't have nothing. Had one suit of clothes, and I'm walking up there every Sunday preaching in the same old suit, shouting the victory. I'm in heaven, God to bless me, shouting on the way up there and shouting on the way back, shouting all week long, praising God. I've been over yonder and come back from the war, and I'm still shouting and praising God. You know, if you'll notice, the poorest people in this church is the one that gives more glory to God. They've got more than anybody else that I know of. You take a fella that thinks he's got it. Now, you don't have to have anything. It's what you think you got or what you're trying to get. Now, I'm not talking about you trying to get rich. I want you to make money. But I want you, God, to bless you. But you know, all of these youngins are just waiting to get out of here so I can get me a car. Now, that's the most stupid thing you ever got a hold of. When I didn't have no car, I had to walk to church, had to walk to preach, had God all over me. Cars sometimes takes the blessings out of you because you think I'm something. I got my driver's license. Well, you'd have been 100 times better off over yonder in Bulgaria without a driver's license, without a car, eating a few times a week, maybe 2 or 3 times a week, and having nothing to wear, and having to depend on America to send you something. You'd have been a lot better off than you are today, thinking, boy, just wait till I get out of here. What in the name of God are you waiting for? You better get up here and get what Brits are talking about this morning. And get God on you, get a hold of God, and get the power of God. But all these churches over this country, they get so much money, they have to build something. They can't find no mission work to give it to. They can't find nobody that they ought to give it to. They can't find somebody hurting out yonder or hungry out yonder that they can send it to. They got to build something because they want to impress somebody that we are somebody. They said, we're rich. They said it. God said you're not. Amen. Most of the things we say is not so anyway. He said, boy, look what we're doing. You ain't doing nothing. Either God, you're doing it or it ain't getting done. You may be making a big show. You may have 6 Mercedes like I watched old Jimmy Swaggart on the TV the other day. He got 6 Mercedes sitting in his yard. His son's got one, his wife's got one, his son's wife's got one, 2 or 3 other folks in the outfit's got one, and their wives got one. I can't even trade cars. I wouldn't want a new one. I'm trying to get me a used one. But here he is, $2.5 million house. His son's got a $250. I'm not saying nothing about that. I'm just telling you what I'm listening to. He's worth over $100 million. His son is getting $600,000 a year, and he's getting $600,000 a year, and he's speaking in tongues, and he's preaching. And I heard him say, I'm as clean as the blood of Jesus can make me. And I thought, well, good. I'm glad he got cleaned up. That's the only thing that'll clean you. And then after a while, he said, when they caught me out there with that prostitute, if I hadn't been afraid, I'd have died and went to hell. I'd have run from a big truck. And I thought, great God, the blood didn't do too much for you. Lord God, if the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses you from anything, he cleanses you from all sin. Amen. And son, listen, that kind of stuff being preached, folks are sending money. They say, boy, he's rich. We're rich. We're great. We're good. We're not. Amen. Them folks in Bulgaria have a lot better meeting than you'll ever have. Amen. We'll never have the kind of meeting they're having because we got too much to worry about. We got too much to look after. We got too many things. We got too much junk. We're overloaded with everything. They don't have nothing. Now, I'm not just trying to get you to quit being rich. I want your money. I'm just trying to tell you don't lie about it. Amen. I talk to these boys and they say, well, I'm saved. I said, you're lying to yourself.
Quit lying to yourself. Quit telling yourself a lie. I mean, we're deceiving our own selves. Do you know what riches will do? It'll deceive you. The deceitfulness of riches. I mean, it'll cause you to think you're something when you're nothing. That rich man went to hell. He didn't go to hell because he's rich. He just went to hell because he didn't think he needed anything. Lazarus went to heaven because he thought he needed something. He wanted the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, and the dogs came and licked his sores. That's the only medicine he got, and he got to heaven. Now, he didn't go to heaven because he's poor. He got to heaven because he trusted one that'll take him there. And the rich man went to hell because he didn't think he needed anything. That's exactly where we're heading today. I'm in this country, they're heading to hell like the rich man and Lazarus. We're in that shape. Over yonder in Bulgaria, they're like old Lazarus. They're just eating the crumbs. We're over here eating the great things, being dressed in all that purple and all that fine stuff. And we're going on our way to hell. America going to hell because we're lying to ourselves. We think, boy, it'll never happen to me. It is going to happen to you. Your day's about up. You better wake up. You say, ain't we going to get raptured out? If I was God, I wouldn't. I wouldn't take a lying bunch out of here that says and deceived. They are deceived. The church is deceived. We're rich. They say. It says here, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not. Now, man, that sounds just like Noah's day, don't it? Bible said in Noah's day, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. I mean, they don't know what's going on. They don't even know they're poor. They don't know they're miserable. My God, you ought to stand up here and look at you this morning. I mean, you ought to be where I'm at this morning and look how miserable some of you do look. I mean, you look pitiful. You look miserable. Oh, Lord God, if you find out how poor you are and coming by from God, gold tied in the fire, you say, well, God don't want my money. I know, but he's already paid for the gold. All you got to do is come get it. It's already paid for. Somebody, I heard somebody talking about that the other day, how they couldn't understand why God said, come and buy milk and money, without money and without price over to Isaiah. And said after a while they found out he'd done paid the bill.
Amen.
And he ain't put it on a credit card either. He done paid it. Bless God. It's already paid for. And if you want some fine linen, clean and white, I want you to know he got it for you. And you can get it. And you don't have to put it down or lay it away. You can have it this morning to wire home.
Amen.
It's already paid for. Folks say, ah, that ain't so. Well, it is so.
Amen.
Listen to what it said. They said, we have need of nothing. And he said, you know not that you're wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. Now, you have to admit, we're like that.
Amen.
Don't look at me and sit there and think, well, what's he trying to do to us this morning? This is a Mother's Day. I know. I about give up all these holy days and holidays and, you know, all these other days. I'm going to preach what I think we need.
Amen.
You need something besides a mother this morning. You need God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Listen to what it said here. It says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Now, you're poor, but I've got some riches you can have. You can buy it from me because my son paid for it. Now, all you need to do is come get it. It's already paid for, and it's laid away for you. Did you ever have anybody lay something away for you? And they say, I want you to go up there to a certain store and tell them who you are and show them your identification and just tell them that I sent you. Boy, isn't that wonderful to have somebody to do that. And you go up there and there it is, already paid for. I like it when God does it like that. I like it when God buys somebody's breakfast like he did old Costigan the other day, that he didn't know them, they didn't know him, and he didn't even mention breakfast to them, but he didn't have the money to buy his breakfast, and they bought it for him. I like it like that. I like it when God's so good. He comes by and does it, and he'd like to help us. I got to hurry. And the Bible said that thou mayest be white raiments, gold, white raiments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, nor with the eyes of thy saves. He's got all that for you. It's already ready for you. Now listen, I'm going to close with this. Behold, I stand at the door. I ask these fellows, where is the Holy Ghost? I know where he's at now. He's at the door. Amen. He's a knocking. He's a begging to come in. I know that the Bible said that my spirit will not always drive a man as it was in the days of Noah. I know that. And bless God, he ain't left the church. He's still trying to get in the church. Amen. I mean, it's pitiful to have a church that you won't let the Holy Ghost in. You won't let Jesus in. You won't let the one that redeemed it in. I mean, it belongs to him, but we take it over. And we're in control of it. And we don't want God in it. And we don't want the power of God in it. And we don't want somebody preaching the word of God in it. We just want to act like we're something. I want to tell you something this morning. I don't care how much you own, how much this church owns. I don't care what all we've got going. We're still poor until he comes in. I mean, we're still naked until he clothes us. We're still blind until he gives us some eyesight. Honey, I want God to come in here and do what this brother was saying this morning. I want him to do it for us.
Amen. Amen.
At any cost, I want him to do it for us. I don't want to go out of here and think, well, you know, we can't get nothing. Yeah, he didn't say, I'm going to stand at the door knocking. Now, if you clean up, get your dresses down, get your hair cut, get your glasses fixed up right, have the right color underwear on, I'll come in. Ain't that the stupidest thing you ever heard of? I mean, he's out there wanting to come in today. He don't care. You're already naked. You got a $5,000 suit on. I don't care what kind of underwear you've got on, like some of these preachers preach. I mean, I'm just saying what I've heard some of them preach. I believe I'd walk out if somebody started preaching that junk, but it didn't happen. What does it matter what you've got on? You ain't got nothing on. When a church gets in that shape, they're naked. You say, that church wasn't saved. I think all of them, I mean, there's no difference in them. He had seven churches and his seven angels, his seven golden candlesticks. This is just as good as the rest of them. It's all in bad shape. The only wrong thing wrong then, they couldn't see how bad off it was.
Amen.
I'm knocking. If you hear my voice, I don't tell you, and I'm closing.
Amen.
Some of you better hear the voice of God, or you go to hell.
Amen.
You ain't going to get saved till the Holy Ghost knocks on your door.
Amen.
And Jesus speaks to your heart.
Amen.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. And until next week, God bless you.